What is that? Could it be the Rancor Pit is back? The
No, no way.
non-live Rancor Pit after our brief hiatus that became, this is kind of like that hiatus between episode 6 and episode 1. This is a microcosm of
Right,
10 year, 20 year gap.
we're like the Joe Madureira battle chasers of
Yeah,
podcasting.
or if you follow Hey Kids Comics, this is like Camelot
Camelot.
3000.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's the
Camelot 3000 of podcasting. So we are back officially. Here we are a week after the last, you heard it announced. It wasn't just a hoax or a cruel trick on the last live show.
Right.
We have finally managed to get this show back on the road.
Not that we have much to go on as far as a defense in defense of ourselves, but a little bit of defense. We did attempt this a few times with faulty equipment not working with us, so
Yeah,
we're
there were some false starts there for a while.
right.
And now we're back.
Yeah, but don't call it a comeback.
Don't ever call it a comeback, please. But it's good to be back on the recorded show. We haven't done one in so long.
I know, and they're so much fun because they're so different than the in studio stuff. It's a completely different animal. If you haven't had the experience of doing both, you wouldn't know. But it's like with this, we don't have to worry about the clock ticking. We don't
Oh,
have to
good
worry
night. Yeah, we don't have
about
to keep looking up and saying, how much time we got left? Really?
right.
10 minutes? It seemed like we had like nothing left.
And I can pick my nose and scratch myself as much as I want. And
That's
oh well,
your
yeah, I guess if you didn't
we
even
had to
know.
limit Eddie on nose picking and personal scratching on the show. If you watch the early episodes, you can see that it was a challenge.
Right. I was even scratching Cole at
I there were
moments.
yeah there we had to put a big moratorium on the non-personal scratching, as it were. Communal scratching was right out. But speaking of communal scratching, no, let's never speak of communal scratching again. But no, we are really thrilled to be back, and
Yeah.
it was.
Although
Oh,
I bet just
go
real quick,
ahead.
I bet there was a lot of in the world of Star Wars, a lot of communal scratching going on in that little prison that Jyn Erso and that other creature was in.
Oh, that probably, yeah, in the in episode 8,
The Space
she should have
Alcatraz.
probably should have like done some scratching or recreated the scene from Duck Soup
The
with,
Marx Brothers?
yeah, with Chicolini,
Good googly moogly, that's
it could
you.
have been
That's the king
Raylini's.
drawback of all
I
callbacks,
can
pardon me,
bring
not
almost
drawback.
anything into Star Wars. It's the damnedest thing.
I mean, you've done callbacks to like the 70s, the 60s, but now we're going all the way back to the Marx era.
Yeah, we're going the Marxist. We're going back to the 30s here, kids, or 40s.
Night. Next thing you're gonna be invoking the yellow kid.
I very nearly awkwardly did on the Hey Kids Comics recently, but that's another story. But there was kind of a funny, happy accident in that one of the most recent false starts, which was very recent, we had lined up the topic for our return to the audio show.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a funny thing that it took us a while to realize that's not an audio topic. That is a live show topic. And of
Yeah.
course, we're speaking of the episode. If you just saw the last live show, you know what we're talking about here. Seriously, comic book covers, and we're going to talk about them?
Yeah, let me describe to you the line work on this comic
That's
cover
right.
that we're not showing you.
Follow all of the links as you go along. Every time you hear Indy's whip, change to a new link.
Right.
But
Every time you hear Jim Steranko put on a new sweater, a new turtleneck,
Oh,
turn the
wow.
page. That's a little nod to Hey Kids Comics.
You hear like a scratchy turtleneck sound.
And
Yeah.
his perfect poofy hair as it pops through the neck of
Wow,
the
talking about commercial communal scratching,
turtleneck.
or commercial scratching for that matter. But it really just kind of hadn't sunk in that we maybe needed to change tack and go with a little bit
Yeah.
different approach for the pre-recorded show. And thusly, we bring you Far, Far Away or the Enduring Inconvenience of Star Wars. And I have to point out that I sent this topic title to Eddie without realizing we hadn't talked about this. This idea has been around a little while. The crux of it was going to be sort of mentioned in passing on our episode, The Fault in Our Star Wars, on the live show, and it just completely fell out of my mind. So it was more in my head than in Eddie's, to be sure.
Yeah.
And then all
I
of a sudden,
was
I'm saying, like, here's this title. And he's like, great. What does it mean?
Yeah, here I am thinking it's like the next like Wes Anderson movie or something. Like what is this? It's gonna have the Owens brothers in it too. I mean, come on.
I have like, oh, God.
Now, Wilson brothers, not Owen's the first name, Owen Wilson.
The Owen brothers.
Yeah, the Owen, the Coens, some, well, some brothers,
Summers
the Marx
Brothers, yeah.
brothers. There you
There you go. Okay, we're back to the Marx Brothers, see? It
go.
all ties in. But yeah, it was funny because I hadn't really realized that it wasn't something we discussed at length. It may have been mentioned in passing or may never have been mentioned at all, the way my brain works. So it was a good thing we had a chance to sort of talk it out a little bit before the show. So.
Which we hardly ever do. We just say, okay, let's just talk
Yeah, let's
about
just
this.
talk about
Okay,
that.
and record.
Exactly. Go. So the core concept here is there is a recurring theme in Star Wars films. It's almost like if this isn't there, it doesn't feel Star Wars enough.
Yeah.
And that is anything you need is going to be yards apart from anything else you need, even though they're connected. Or if you arrive somewhere, you have to park so such a far ass distance away that, especially in a culture where you can just drive in from anywhere from the air,
Yeah, exactly.
that you have to park your spacecraft so bloody far away that it's a day's march to get where you were going. I mean, it's not like it was Star Wars. It wasn't like Life Day shopping at the mall. Good luck getting in that close to Life Day. That's why it's important to support small treehouse businesses like Art Carney's.
It's funny that you reference that because I one of the things I jotted down to want to talk about has to do with the
Oh, wow! That worked out pretty well. I had no idea.
holidays.
So, this is literally talking about how nothing can be all that convenient so much of the time. I mean, it's okay if you're like raiding the Death Star to rescue a princess that you have to go kind of a circuitous route and maybe swing across an incredibly inconvenient chasm because you blew out the controls for the bridge. Which, let's talk a moment about the Death Star itself.
And let me just preface this with I may be also taking this into the arena of just general inconveniences in the Star Wars sagas where maybe this wasn't the best idea, maybe we could have done this better type of thing, which
Exactly.
Okay, well, Death Star, let's start there.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the Death Star, the core concept of the Death Star, be it the first or the colossally bigger, depending on which reference you look at, it's either, twice as big or four times as big as the original.
Yeah.
I've seen some comparisons where it just dwarfs the original. I've seen some side by sides where it's maybe half again as big.
Yeah.
And either way, the Death Star almost is like a small town. Because it starts out with a single purpose. In this case, a vehicle, a mechanism for carrying around a big ass gun to blow up planets.
Yeah. It was Megatron before it was Megatron
That's right. Except it doesn't convert into a small handheld size in
was
that
around.
weird,
True.
inexplicable way Megatron does. But the thing about it is, imagine it like a small town that has a single purpose, like you have a textile mill and you built it out in the middle of nowhere because it was, you got great tax incentives and stuff, and the city needs you. But then, all the workers then begin to, some of them don't want to put down roots, so that you have to apartment complexes begin to spring up, and then people get tired of going to the convenience store and paying outrageous prices, so grocery stores come in, then restaurants, and the roads improve and you get traffic lights, and pretty soon your little out of the way town that decades later becomes appealing to people who want to move out of the big city and commute becomes the big city itself, and then there's nowhere to go. And in a strange sort of way, that's what the Death Star is. And I think that maybe that's why there's all these cavernous spaces that, like, oh, don't look too far over the rail if you're over by the elevators because it's a 1,000-foot drop. Or here's these just really scary, I hope you don't have vertigo or height, acrophobia, if you're going to cross this bridge. At least it's not like one of those Indiana Jones bridges, but still. I mean, there's no railing on that thing. And I think it's because it was never intended to have offices and coffee shops and it's the gift shop, I think, was a
It was almost
little.
like at one point it was like the little nook where they stored like the Christmas decorations, you
Exactly.
know?
And the next thing you know, the decorating inflation sets in, and you have to have it store the Thanksgiving decorations and the Life Day decorations, and
The Life Day.
the which is incredibly sparse. Life Day is just a new tree. You just it's kind of like Arbor Day,
I guess
except
they wouldn't really have like Christmas in, in the Star Wars world. I guess it'd be like more like midichlorian-mas or something like
oh
that.
wow,
Yeah.
midichlorian.
Something. It would have to be something different.
Like Annie Day or something,
Where everyone walks around with red curly wigs. No, that's the wrong Annie.
oh,
Sorry.
wrong one. Yeah,
That's the orphan, not
that's the
Skywalker.
sons will come out tomorrow.
The twin sons will come. Nice.
Star Wars Annie, right? Hashtag Star Wars Annie.
There you go.
Or
Well,
Tatooine. No, never mind. Okay.
it's funny that you bring all this up, like the no railings and like, just like a wrong misstep if you're like on your space iPhone and you're looking at your space Facebook, or Spacebook, I
Or
guess.
God forbid you're just a rank and file stormtrooper because you can't see a
Right.
thing in those helmets.
Right, misstep, and then you fall into this, never-ending chasm.
Yeah, oddly enough,
All the way down
that
doing
was
the
Finn's
Wilhelm.
job with sanitation, was to go down and muck up all the stormtrooper bodies that down in the deep chasms.
And as he's down there, he knew another was about to hit when he heard the Wilhelm scream.
Oh, yes.
And then
Everybody
he
was
knew just to step
trained.
to the side,
If you
yeah.
fall, do a Wilhelm.
Yeah, right.
Oh, will that
At this,
help? No, you'll still die.
can we
But
like
if.
insert like right here a Wilhelm screen like right here? Boom. Okay.
Okay, good.
Let's try to remember
I'll
to put a
see what
Wilhelm
we can
screen.
do.
Yeah.
If there's no Wilhelm scream, one of two things happened. I forgot, or I couldn't figure out how to make it happen.
Or I forgot and couldn't make it.
But we've got a little luxury of a little time here, so we're going to research that.
But since we're talking about these areas with no railings where misstep can mean utter doom and
Yeah.
all, you would think like, yeah, that's science fiction. That wouldn't happen in the real world. But I'm going to
Uh-oh.
take it into Figment's land here for a moment, if I may. There's some place that has a reputation for being just as awkwardly built and deadly in the real world, and that's it's Sloss Furnace, Sloss, and dang it if I can't remember what city town it's in, but you can
Is it
Google
a
it.
city town?
It's a city town.
It's kind of like that city town I was talking about earlier.
It's kind of like that old cartoon cat dog, where it's half cat half dog.
Okay.
But no, Sloss Furnace, way back in the day, and it is believed to be haunted now. That's what makes it a Figment topic. Is on the one part of the property was this giant. Well, there's this one giant like turning gear, like this big wheel that was probably a good, I don't know, maybe 18, 20 feet in diameter. And it was just kind of parked right in the middle of like this platform that workers walk back and
This
forth.
just sounds like a recipe for disaster. Like,
Right.
who didn't see it coming?
Right. And it's just like parked right there in this platform, this big platform area where the workers generally were just walking back and forth, 12 hours a day doing their job. And one story goes that this worker was taking a quick break to eat his lunch and was literally like standing, I just standing just a bit too close to this giant, wheel that was spinning like 80 miles an hour. And the workers, his coworkers said that he was like literally there one moment and then gone
Oh,
a moment later.
weird.
And what had happened is he had just like his, maybe his arm, I mean, they don't know because no one actually saw it happen. Maybe his arm, his elbow, something caught and it just like yanked him in and of course killed him instantly. And so it's like this actually exists in the real world where things like that happen. And of
That
course,
nobody thought to like put a fence around it or
well,
something.
there's a, and that's the thing. If you go there now to see this, there's a fence around it, too
Oh
little, too
yeah,
late.
now there's a fence.
Right.
After they hosed it down. This lost furnace actually turned out to be in Birmingham, Alabama, where they love the governor. Woo hoo
Well,
hoo.
was it? That's makes sense because I remember now the people that were doing like the tour had the Deep South accent, so that makes sense.
That is frightening and bizarre all at once.
And that's what it reminds me of the Death Star because you have like all these like watch where you're going or they have to sign some sort of waiver like the Imperials when they sign on to become an Imperial. They have to sign.
There must be, or it's just sort of implicit or expressed in your conscription.
Yeah,
It's
or the
just
fact
like,
that no one would dare try to bring a lawsuit up against the Emperor
yeah,
either
it's like,
with
well,
that.
all of the witnesses all fell into this lost furnace there.
Right, because if you thought Snoke's little move with Hux, where he just throws him to the ground and like
Oh.
slides him across like a dead fish, you don't
No,
want Palpatine getting
Palpatine
after you.
is just it's messy, and then you have to bring in the Imperial janitors again,
Right.
who are, they're accustomed to scraping these stormtrooper remains and stuff anyway.
Yeah. And no. Well, what was the Darth Plagueis? He was even more. He had more of a sense of humor, let's just say, because if you crossed him in any sort of way, word was it that he would just use the Force and just like pants you in front of everybody.
Oh, okay. Or I thought maybe he would like kill you and then bring you back from the dead
And then pants you.
and then pants you. So you'd be like undead pantsed boy. Talking about inconvenient,
Just bits blowing in the
Oh, it's sad, and you get a little gamey after about a week, so.
Oh,
So, yeah, I think that, the Death Star is an illustration of just not caring to the point where it's like the designers of the thing kept thinking of all the stuff they forgot once they got into the building phase. And maybe, Vader or Palpatine kept getting pissed and choking people out.
yeah.
And, there was an inconsistency there. Like for the original Death Star was supposed to be square. Turned out it was round.
Right.
Somebody had the brilliant idea of putting a small thermal exhaust port right below the main port, which seemed overkill, but it's on the blueprints. But the real inconvenient thing is,
Yeah.
it's weird because there's a dichotomy of convenience and inconvenience. The convenient thing is, any astromech droid can drive on board the Death Star, plug in, and interpret the entire Imperial network.
Yeah.
Not the best security measures. I mean, granted, you're building this intimidating thing with the idea nobody could possibly sneak on board with an astromech, so who cares? But at the same time, really? But then once you've interpreted the network, so you have a docking bay
Uh-huh.
with a tractor beam housing built in. Probably several of your docking bays have those. So depending on what you're drawing in, you just fire up whichever one, whichever docking bay is big enough for what you're reeling in. And but the control panel is in the most awkward, ridiculous. It's almost like, hey, you know what? Somebody might want to try to turn off the tractor beam. So if we're going to put a giant label on there in English, like it was something out of the damn Bat Cave, we need to put it somewhere where nobody's going to notice it. So they put it on one of those inconvenient rail-less gantries,
I know.
but they put it on the side where you're not going to see it. It's probably on the side where you don't see Ben is like a vending machine or something. Who'd have thought there were vital Death Star controls back there? You probably could have shut off the main gun.
Everyone just crossed that lane to get their nutter butter.
Yeah. Butter. Or a zero bar. And that's all there was. There was Nutter Butter, Zero Bar, and like, Hubba Bubba or something.
Well, they had that 1 calorie soda, Rogue One.
Of course.
Well, you
Nice.
know, in their defense, though, us as the viewers watching A New Hope, we saw it from that certain angle. We knew there was a walkway. What they saw from their point of view was the old
Certain
last,
point of view.
yeah, the Last Crusade leap of faith thing that he
Oh,
did.
I see. So if you were
So,
on that side,
yeah.
it looked like,
It was just a chasm, like there was
yeah.
nothing there. But in reality, there's that little walkway
But if
that
you
the.
like, if you had been over to bit to tie your shoe or something, the illusion might have failed.
Yeah,
Or
exactly.
if you were like carrying a platter of rice, uncooked rice, and you tripped and it spilled all over, you're like, oh, look at that.
Because two things that we see often in the Star Wars movies are shoelaces and uncooked rice.
Exactly. Maybe he's on his way to a wedding. It's a long shot,
Would you like some rice pilaf with
but
that roasted pork you just
that's
ordered,
right.
sir?
I'll get it. The kitchen's on the other side of the Death Star, though, so it may take a while. And
Let me
I'm
make
kind
wait, let me
of.
make a quick stop at the vending machine to get my
That's
Nutter
right.
butter.
Exactly. I'll need to energize myself for the
Just
trip
order
back.
rice, please.
But I'm watching my weight, so I better drink a Rogue One with my Nutter Butters. So, way to take that to unexpected places.
Fish for material for this one.
No. No, it and this is what's also kind of bizarre is, the dynamic is the same but different with the live show where we just sort of start inspiring and bouncing off these ridiculous things with each other. So, yeah, the Death Star I think is sort of it's our first glimpse at how inconvenient things are. Because if you look up to that point, Tosche Station's a bit of a drive, but it's still in the neighborhood. It's still in the same county. When they go to Mos Eisley, they got upfront parking, man. Talk about timing. I
Oh, I
mean,
know.
granted, Jawas come and start fondling your vehicle, but it's upfront parking.
Right, next to the
It's the hood fondlers there. But
back poop. They just wanted to wash his windshield
oh, okay.
for a couple of credits.
That's right. Like
They
a
owed Watto some money.
why
Come
lie?
on.
I need blue milk. But so up to that point thing, if you want we're going somewhere or doing something, it was pretty easy going. And then the talk about imperial entanglements. Once they get involved, everything goes to hell. You literally nothing is convenient anymore. Meanwhile, you go back to the rebel base, and you can park right there at the entrance to the the old temple.
Yeah.
But back on the Death Star, everything's still pretty far apart. And that kind of imperial idea carries through with, like, the bridges of. Once you finally get to see what it's like on the bridge of a Star Destroyer.
Oh, I know.
More rayless pits to fall. You've got this
And but
orchestra pit down on either
right,
side.
and that's the thing. So you got these little guys who are just doing their job down there. It's like if someone's gonna be if Phasma's gonna be like clumsy and not watch where she's going, she's gonna like tumble over the side. That's
Exactly.
some pretty heavy armor. That's gonna kill
You're gonna
somebody.
crush a dude, or there's gonna be a lot of injuries. I mean, that's why the Death Star had to have such a large personnel base. Death and dismemberment.
Right.
And they had to have a considerable amount of it given over to sick bays to help patch up the wounded soldiers. Like, what battle were you in, son? Well, it wasn't a battle, I just kind of slipped on some uncooked rice.
That's when they fell through the trash compactor and Han was like that wonderful smell you discovered. That's the rotting corpse
Oh, it's just dead stormtroopers.
that you keep tossing down there from all these like haphazard, happenings that's going on the whole time.
No
Like,
wonder the Dianoga went after Luke. It wanted some fresh meat.
What's in this tin can? It's like
Exactly. This is the first time this one I can still get a heartbeat here.
Oh my
Most of them are
gosh.
kind of gangly and they usually don't come shrink wrapped in fresh packaging.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so apparently they pretty much just turn into a liquid sludge. So essentially, Luke got pulled under into a big vat of dead people stuff.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's
Oh
like an episode
man.
of The Walking Dead. Let's hide amongst
Oh yeah,
the
dang.
blood and guts of of the dead, so that way the walkers can't sniff us out. But it's a good point that you brought up, like the Imperial, the Death Star design carried over to the Star Destroyers, and it just occurred to me, it also carried over to their outposts
Oh
on
yeah.
Endor. When they're going to blow up the little station, and they chuck that fanny pack at that Imperial, and he falls over the railing, and he goes,
Another!
ah,
Yeah.
he got another chasm, another chasm.
And they're at ground level. Somebody had to dig a pit to
Right.
build that.
They're like, they built that bunker, and they're thinking, this isn't dangerous enough.
Yeah.
Let's build a pit.
Yeah.
Let's dig.
Dig about 300. No, make it about 600 feet down.
Just let's make it deep enough to where someone will die when they
Yeah.
hit.
And if you don't trip and fall, let's just have a giant electric field going constantly within arm's reach. So like, maybe on bring your kid to work day and their helium balloon gets away from, you reach out to grab it and you're instantly flash fried.
Right.
And what? Down in the Dianoga pit with your body.
Well, that's how they weed out
That's
the
right. Very Darwinian approach to your military
Right.
in the Empire.
That brings up another point that I didn't think of, another inconvenient, like, why did we put this here of all things? Why did this go here? When you talked about the electric shock, the field.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about episode two. Who thought it was good to put these big electric doohickeys in the middle of a city where people are going to be flying through? Like this, and
I think though that the educated, the locals, the people who obey traffic law, for example, don't drive there. What you didn't see was all the posting says, "Don't drive here, giant dangerous electric fields."
Yeah, but you've had one death stick too many. You're not
Oh
really
yeah.
thinking straight.
Oh, well, talk about inconvenient. If the entire planet is one enormous city, it means that they've literally just kept growing upward after they covered the whole planet. So if somebody trips over a non-railed course and skyscraper, like a balcony, I mean, at least most of the balconies we saw were covered, but like when But anybody like say tosses an apple core over their shoulder, it, unobstructed, it could
Yes.
hit terminal velocity and just put a
Right.
giant chug hole in somebody's head.
Well, if you read the now casted away expanded universe, there's whole scenes of the lower levels of Coruscant in the New Jedi Order, and it's basically once you get down that low, it's the slums. So no one's going to care about what happens down there anyway. So it's like if a space apple hits terminal velocity
Space apple.
and then drills a perfectly round hole through someone's head and goes all the way through their body, no one's really going to bat an eye.
It's just, population control downstairs.
Right.
And the sad, sad existence of the lower levels of Coruscant.
Exactly.
And of course,
What
I guess
other.
that's why they have to have such a robust public transportation system there, because literally, there's just no walking across town. You got to take a
Oh, yeah.
space cab.
Sky cab.
So from here on out, we're going to call everything space.
Yeah, whatever. Space, fill in the blank.
That's right. Space rice.
Space rice. What other inconveniences have
Well,
can we point out?
one of the other inconveniences, just in as far as layout and design, since we're kind of talking about, and this really falls heavily on the Empire. It seems it's a recurring theme. Is, for example, in Rogue One.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, the communications ports weren't exactly meant to be plugged into by visiting shuttles.
Yeah.
But still, inevitably, I mean, as an Imperial pilot, Bodhi should have known.
Yeah.
I mean, I
Oh,
guess
yeah.
that's why he carries an extension cord with him, backpack style.
I know, like the most inconvenient, like 50-pound
That's
backpack.
right. It's like, why do you have a giant 7,000-foot extension cord? It's the Empire. Say no more.
Right, because
Because
it doubles in case he were to ever trip off of a gantry or something.
that's true, if you're
He could just
lucky.
go down like Bruce Willis Die Hard style, where
That's right.
instead of a fire hose, he's got that extension cord to save his life.
I've got a blaster now. Ho, ho, ho. Oh, remember when they tried to take over that plaza on Life Day?
Yes, that was
It's a tradition for a lot of people to watch that movie on Life Day.
awesome.
You're one of the people who could appreciate that most, because that, is, I believe, is a tradition of yours.
Minok. No, never mind. I won't finish
Oh,
that.
whoa, okay.
I won't finish that. You can figure out what the rest of
Well played, though, nonetheless.
that. Yeah, I mean, I feel Bodhi's pain in that scene of Rogue One where he's just going and going and then falls just shy of being able to plug in. Because how many times, and you may have experienced the same, where you get your water hose and you're trying to like water your lawn and you're desperately trying to get that last back corner, in our case, the last back corner right before the alley on the other side of our driveway, where I just the water hose, no matter how you put your thumb at the entrance of the hose, at the exit, I mean the entry, and you're trying to get that extra 12 feet of spray to just reach
That's
that
right.
little bitty corner of the
Or
yard.
like an extension cord for an electric weed eater or something,
And yes, exactly, same
and
concept.
it gets caught on some inevitable piece of bush branching that you didn't know was there, and there's like 9 more feet, but you can't get access to it because it's hooked, like poor
Right.
Bodhi was. And then when you do get everything, where's the switch to actuate this? That's another 14 yards away.
In the other direction.
Yeah, exactly. On a little post out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And
It's like they're doing a like a scavenger hunt. Like, you know,
Exactly.
if you want to operate anything on Scarif, it's like a scavenger hunt. You have to go here to do this, and then go over here, collect this, take it to this person, and do this, and then yeah, it's crazy.
Well, the thing about it, it's almost like, well, if you're going to get posted to Scarif, which is, you know, this wonderful tropical paradise.
Oh yeah,
you're going to pay.
Just
for
hang
it.
Back and enjoy the sun.
Yeah,
The
you're going to pay for it though. You're going to nothing's going to be. You know, and it's probably because everybody got in such a leisurely mood that it didn't even occur to them to, you know, it takes an outsider like Krennic to say, deploy the garrison!
Garrison is like, this is like Space Mayberry. Nothing ever happens
exactly.
Here.
Exactly. They don't even load their blaster.
Deputy has like one bullet in his
exactly.
pocket.
Exactly. They got one charge in their blaster. And it's not even in the blaster.
It's like, who's in charge of that? Floyd the Barber? I don't know. Who's in charge of the garrison?
It's a beautiful thing to watch, Andy. It's a beautiful thing to watch, Orson. Yeah,
who's Andy Griffith? What are they talking about?
But they, yeah, exactly.
Talking about Matlock?
Who's Floyd? But they, the other, and you have that other thing when she's up trying to operate the radar dish.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, if you want to turn the radar dish, go over here. If you want to turn on the radar dish, you have to go over here. If you want to actually use the radar dish, that's two blocks over and 17 feet up.
Right.
I mean, it's just.
But you have to wait till we say Simon Says to do it.
That's right. And it's only available between 3 p.m. and it's just this layers of insanity. And I was talking about this to Catherine a couple of days ago, and she pointed out that this is the Imperials are still suffering heavily from clone era thinking. And I got to think about this is a brilliant justification here. The Empire is sort of an offshoot. You know, you can see the beginnings of the Empire within the Old Republic during the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
It got to the point where they, you know, the Kaminoans really were damn good cloners because they...
You love doing that voice in the line.
<That's> right. Oh, you know I do, laddie. But, They were such good cloners that they overproduced. There was just this surfeit of clones.
Yeah.
So they had to do something with them. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody, all the ships were full, all of the theaters of combat were oversaturated. So let's just break up simple tasks where you would normally have a single control panel and now takes four guys to operate a single mechanism. You know, look at the, and I think the First Order suffers from this as well. Look at their new TIE fighters. It takes two guys instead of one.
I know. When did this happen? You're just trying to find jobs for everyone to keep busy at this
point. Yeah, it's like, you know, Snoke gets tired of going around saying, if you got time to clean, you got time to clean. I mean, have you seen the First Order headquarters and stuff?
Oh my gosh.
I mean,
that's like the slogan for every manager that has ever worked at any Montgomery Ward ever.
Montgomery Wards.
For those of y'all who remember Montgomery Wards.
Wow, we're flying our old people flags here. But no, it's just moving Finn into the combat position was a loss because. I mean, look at the First Order, and in fact, the Empire.
Yeah.
Like when Palpatine arrives at the second Death Star, that's spick and span.
Yeah.
Man, those floors are glossy.
Right. You can see up his skirt if you look close enough.
Oh, no. Nobody wants to look. Wow, it's like seeing Maz Kanata on a bad day.
It's like seeing Wilford Brimley when he gets out of bed during the Ewok movie where he just flashes his whitey tidies at everybody.
Oh, I'm so glad I didn't get that far into that movie.
Oh
spared me the reality of just my imagination alone is getting frightening. Yeah, you don't want to, you know, the last thing in the world you want to do is see up Emperor Palpatine's skirt. It's like a pair of golden raisins up there.
Are those just raisins, or are those like two little Maz
I
Kanatas,
know.
like grinning back at us? I have to say, what I just remember something my brother Vic said about that scene about Wilford Brimley's whitey tidies in the Ewok movie. He goes, "Yeah, I noticed that scene. It gave me diabetes for a week." I about died laughing when he said that.
Oh, dear God.
Oh man.
But the
Oh,
other,
it's dude.
are there any other instances? I mean, like Rogue One really underscored, and I think in many ways that's what made it feel like it was taking place in the same period, because everything was so damned inconvenient. Were there
Well,
any others that, any other things that made you feel that way, or any other
the
locales or tech
this
or
may
anything?
be a little bit of a stretch, but it's something that's always bothered me, and that has to do with the rebel base on Hoth, where they can manage to construct these hangars and these little command centers. But man, it always bugged me that their hallways were just ice. Like, how uninviting and cold must that been for them to go from like the hangar bay to the command center, or
Oh,
to get
yeah.
command center to their quarters? Hopefully their quarters had some sort of insulated walls and not like the hallways where it's just like ice. Because I can only imagine, like, by the time Leia gets from the command center to her quarters, she's ready to cut glass with those nippies of
Oh,
hers.
good Lord. No wonder she had to have that padded vest on all the time.
Right,
That's,
for everyone
otherwise,
else's
she'd be
safety.
putting an eye out. Because according to Lucas, there's no underwear in space, so.
Right.
Could have got downright dangerous. Not to mention this, the hard to maintain morale with that level of shrinkage going on amongst a largely male rebel population.
Oh my
I mean, that's
gosh.
why Han was glad he brought his own mobile home, because he and Chewie could go in there and
Right.
crank the heat up and.
Light up a couple of doobies and just kind
That's
of
right.
relax.
Gonna sit back and let the good times roll, but
Right. I'm just scratching Chewbacca's tummy while his leg just
oh, more scratching.
more. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Forget
I guess
a couple of Rogue Ones.
they just never got around to that, or by the time they were bringing in the wall paneling, the Wampas started showing up.
Right. That as a kid, that always bothered me. It's like, oh, how cold, and it's like if you've ever worked. I worked at a Taco Bell, and I also worked at a grocery store. Both had the walk-in freezers. You don't want to be on stocking duty when the trucks come in to deliver all the frozen meats and all the everything that has to be stuck in the freezer, because you're hauling box after box after box into these walk-in freezers for like 2 hours. Believe me, you don't want to be that
Yeah,
person.
apparently then you get the diamond nippies, Wow.
Even need my box cutters those days.
Oh,
Rub my chest along the top of the box, and I was
wow.
good to
Oh, God. Oh.
go.
More material for Rancor Pit After Dark.
Right. Coming to AllCon 2018.
That's right. Be sure and check that out in March at Convention Awareness Project Texas, cap-tx.info.
There you
Plug. So moving
go.
from the presentation of either places or the technologies therein, the other recurring inconvenience is nobody can ever park, apparently after Luke and Ben, nobody can ever park close to anything.
No, it's like going to like a Texas Rangers game. You have to
Except
park
there's
like 3 blocks
nobody else
away.
parking. That's the thing. For example, I can understand, like, say, if you're trying to keep a low profile, Like when the rebels come, that they arrive at the base on the Endor moon as parts and technical group, which apparently after you arrive, if your code's good, nobody cares where you are. Nobody's keeping tabs on you anymore.
Exactly.
I
If
mean, yeah.
they're in a shuttle, why couldn't they have just parked closer? They're in a shuttle.
Exactly. I mean, granted, they're offloading a bunch of guys dressed as rebel commandos because they were, but at the same time, you've got it begs the question of, in that case, I can understand parking well enough away, but is anybody going to wander over at the landing bay, which is the traditional place that incoming craft land, that somebody upstairs let somebody in
I
who
guess
never showed up?
what we probably may not have seen off screen was them dropping everyone off at one point and then
Ah, and then
continuing on
driving it
to
over
the
to land on the, yeah, leaving like one guy dressed as Bodhi Rook. He was doing a Bodhi cosplay.
Hey, who's that guy that does the cosplay?
Yeah,
Ask him he's got a Bodhi in his arsenal.
that way, if anybody came on board,
Nobody's got a gold bikini. Does that work?
if anybody came on board once they landed, like, who are you? I'm the pilot. I'm the pilot. Okay, fine. That's all you have to say, apparently. But there are so many other instances, like when Amidala and Qui-Gon and company all arrive on Tatooine. It's like, why are we parking out here? It's remote parking. It's cheaper. What?
Well, I mean, you do. I mean, everyone would recognize the Naboo, the
I guess,
Queen's.
yeah. If anybody showed up in a sleek, you'd have like Jawas. You'd be like just scraping them off. They'd be so. You're like, where do we park? Oh, there we are. We're just under that blanket of fondling Jawas.
They'd be
They're
Jaws
just.
be all humping that thing like a chihuahua on
Exactly.
your leg or something.
Just be swarmed with them.
Right.
So, but like for example, when Han and Chewie go to Maz's castle, I mean, they are way out in Sirius, like where you have to take the shuttle, serious remote parking, or hire one of those guys on a pedal swoop.
Pedal swoop.
Or it's got like the little carriage in back where you sit in.
Little space rickshaw.
Yeah, exactly.
But
But
I can only
is
imagine
there
the
no
trek.
close parking by the next door to the castle at all?
Right. I can only imagine the conversation from the Falcon to Maz's place is like every like 5 minutes, Rey's like, "No, seriously, I didn't know there's this much green." And Han's like, "Would you shut up already with the green? We get it. You've said it for the past 45
Yeah, I
minutes."
get it. You can't. I know another guy, somebody else who came from a tan planet, and he didn't go on and on and on when we went to Endor. He showed up. He did his job. We defeated the Empire.
You millennials,
I
gosh.
know.
Gosh.
God, you've got the worst Sith ever.
Gosh, Tina.
Like the worst Sith ever. As if anybody could know that.
What's that over there?
God.
An What's that over there, a liger?
Your mom went to the academy.
That would explain why
Space
Maz
Liger, by the
had
way.
that shirt that said "Vote for Pedro."
Oh, it does, yes. That was a Space Liger, by the
Space liger. That's true. That is
way.
true. It's a space liger. You're not
But
getting. Oh,
it
space
does seem.
liger! Space liger! It's the
Ah.
creature in Episode Two in the Coliseum
Yes, the
that scratched
Nexu.
Pat. Yes, that
The
creature
Nexu was a
scratches
space
Padme.
liger. Who knew?
There we go.
We have
Another
some
one. Another
closure
one
now.
for Rancor Pit figments.
That's right, the space liger. Probably my favorite space animal in the world, bred for its skills in the Force.
Oh my gosh.
We've taken this miles away. But it does seem like, and I think that explains why when the Falcon arrives at Cloud City and 3PO's bitching about how there's nobody there to greet him, which really, I want to point out here, because when am I ever going to mention that scene again? That was one of the best examples of someone writing 3PO's character as what he was designed to be, a protocol droid.
Yeah.
Who else would mention that nobody's there to greet him? You're like, hey, come on, what gives?
Yeah, because it would be protocol for someone to be there to greet them.
Who invites you to their house and then just leaves you waiting in the driveway? I mean, come on. But, you know, the fact that everybody arrives so much later, much to 3PO's self-satisfaction that did occur, is because the landing platform that the idiots up in the cloud cars escorted them to could not have been further away from the offices where Lando and Lava and everybody were.
There he goes.
And then to go over to the guardhouse to collect a complement of guards.
Yeah.
Then the long walk because the conveyor belt's out again because you've got labor difficulties of every kind.
Not to mention they had to stop by to get their ice cream cones from the ice cream maker
man. That's right. Everybody stopped at Wilroe Hood's.
For Curly Q ice cream.
Well, that it just takes all day when you go to Hood's because there's like 700 flavors. I mean, there are things that nobody's even sure what that flavor is meant to taste like. They order it just to challenge each other as to try to figure out what it even... What is the mystery flavor this week?
Right, right. And, of course, you always have to...
It's Minock raisins.
Ew.
It's like Minock meat and raisins.
Ew. I don't even know what the raisins part is.
just raisins.
And, of course, you have to pet, you know, when you go to visit Wilroe Hood, you had to pet his little pet rats, because those would be
the Wilroe
Hood's rats.
Hood's rats. Yes, indeed.
Yes, that's corny, I know.
But are they loth rats? Which apparently are the prey of loth cats when I...
Oh, man. Oh, gosh.
Needless to say, if you're not hoofing it, it's a very pedestrian society. If going back to the Death Star, you see a lot of guys just wandering around.
Because they know they have to get it to a meeting later in the evening, so they have to start walking that morning to get there.
That's true. Yeah, because the one thing you don't see on the Death Star is any kind of conveyance. There's Wonka Vaders, but that's about it.
Yeah.
And this is like a big round building, so you want to be sure that you're headed the right direction, otherwise you're in for a very, very long walk.
Well, are we sure... Now, there's that theory, to take it into Figment's Land again, that the Death Star is not actually round, that it's actually flat.
Oh, there are the flat Death Starers.
Yes, the flat Death Starers. And their argument is because when Luke is going down the trench, you don't see a curve. It's straight.
That makes perfect sense.
Right, okay.
So Space Galileo was wrong.
Space Galileo.
he worked with Galen Erso on the Death Star project.
It was a conspiracy.
Yeah, his job was to convince people it was round.
Right.
That's no moon. How do you know? It's flat. Oh, a flat Death Star, huh? There's always one.
Right. Well, it's round if you look at it from the top, looking down.
That's right. Well, it is. It's round like a coin.
It's round like a plate, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
And its orbit is it's like when you put a coin on its end and thump it, and it spins. Since it's out in space, it's spinning all the time, so it looks spherical.
That's right. That's
but
it.
It's really flat.
Oh, man.
From a certain point of view.
And to go even further off the beaten path as far as, like, inconveniences or who would have thought to put this here of all places, you referenced this on the nose. You got it right on the money. and that's from the holiday special. Art Carney's shop. You even pinned it down to that specific of a thing. Art Carney's shop is what I wanted to talk about. What did he think? How much business did he think he was going to generate setting up on Kashyyyk?
Oh, exactly.
When you have a planet full of Wookiees that have for generations hunted for their own food, made their own clothing, built their own houses, and got their own Wookiee porn, what?
I guess that was the thing, is he brought in Wookiee porn.
He brought in the porn.
He brings the porn, he brings the cartoons. There were a lot of commodities.
Then little Adam Rich Wookiee, then he have like the... some toys at one
point. Oh yeah, he had like a bantha, a plush bantha, which I wanted.
What Art Carney was. That's what he was.
Yeah, he was a peddler. But he was also peddling. It wasn't so much for the Wookiees. He was following the Imperial occupation forces.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of money to be made off of Imperials who are stuck on backwater planets with nothing to do. A lot of what becomes Wookiee porn. actually just started out as completely innocent Imperial entertainment.
Right.
It was just like it was like VH1 for the Imperials. Turns out the Wookiees get highly aroused by it. There's like some serious Red Rocket action going on.
Red Rocket? Oh my god. You know, but it all is based on the culture, because whereas you and I could probably sit down and watch Baywatch and not think much of it. You bring in an Amish person to watch Baywatch?
Oh, yeah. There's no Baywatch in the Bible. You know, when they were walking up and down Galilee, there was no chicks in high-thigh one-piece swimsuits out there swimming in the Dead Sea, bringing people in from drowning.
Oh, no, sir. You know what we call that back in my day? We call those the devil women.
The devil women?
The devil women.
That's why they were wearing red, because of the devil.
You've got to, when you see the devil women, you've got to turn tail and go the other way.
That's right.
Just keep yourself preoccupied. Get your brush out and brush your beard a little bit.
Like, suddenly becoming Scottish?
I guess. Idle hand, you know what they say.
the Sith Workshop. Space Amish. Hashtag Space Amish. He wasn't Irish, he was just a Space Amish, that's all.
That's how they sound. Come on now.
Yeah.
You can't explain it. It's just like you can't explain why all the Imperials have British accents.
That's so true.
They're not space British. Oh my gosh. But yeah, I mean, Art Carney, you're right. Maybe, just maybe, he was like that. Not only was he providing goods, like disposable income type stuff that they didn't really need, but maybe he was also providing like this type of entertainment for the Imperials that were stationed there. Like he, you know, you pay him 3 bits. And you go behind the curtain and you get to see like the two-headed womp rats or the bearded hut woman or something. I don't know. Something like
they have like a menagerie going on behind the scenes.
A little sideshow freak business going on there.
Right. That's a hell of a shop.
Even had that one lady that would had the volcano head that she would pour stuff into the hole on the top of her head.
Everybody gets a kick out of those.
They had the 4 arms or 5 arms, whatever it was, however many arms that character had. I've kind of blocked that out of my memory.
You're lucky. Talk about inconvenient Star Wars. Just getting that stuck in your head is terribly inconvenient.
Right.
But it was just one of those things that... the more I thought about it, it was going to be mentioned in passing, these sort of things, and I began to realize there's a lot of stuff to talk about there, and jumping back into the pre-recorded show, it would be nice just kind of do something lighthearted and fun, and it's certainly been that. Are there any other that have sprung to mind for you? 'Cause
I don't know if this is a matter of just being an inconvenience, or if he just wanted to do this as part of his exercise routine, but could Luke not have found a better way of fishing
I
than
was
having
actually going to mention that.
than to have to get his little what is that in the relays in track and field where you
Oh,
get the
yeah,
pole?
like a pole vaulting.
Pole
Yeah.
vaulting, there you go. He had to do his little pole vault move and then
Onto a
get
tiny little half-inch ledge.
right, like he's Sylvester Stallone in Cliffhanger, and
Wow.
and then just get that, where in landscaping you have the little arm that you can cut the high limbs with the little ex things
Yeah.
that it bursts. It goes down and you can spear things. Like, could you? Is there nowhere on this island that you could have gone
It's
that
like
fishing would have been easier?
use a fishing pole.
Because we
I
know
guess
he's.
this is like space noodling or something.
I don't know. But it's like. And we find out that he's cut himself off from the force, so it's not like he's using the force to pull this off. That's all him. This is
Yeah.
Luke. This is all farm boy coming out of Luke, doing all this is on
Yeah, his woodcraft is amazing. And the other thing about that is,
his woodcraft.
I mean, good night. Kevin Costner had an easier method of angling in Waterworld than Luke did here.
Oh my gosh. Talk about a movie you've blocked out of your memory.
Oh, I wish I could. I wish I could, but no, that was actually, I was trying to, what was the one I was going to talk about in episode 8? And you beat me to it. Right about the time I was conjuring that back up. But yeah, good night. Could you be less convenient?
Right. And I have one more that I think I want to bring up. I wasn't sure how it. I think this falls into the topic of, could you have maybe picked a better way of doing it or a better place to live? For old Ben Kenobi, being of the age that he is, and we know no matter how good of a Jedi you once were or still are, you're gonna get to that point where you're gonna have the creaky knees, the achy back. Dislocated hip may be a problem. Could you not have found a worse place to live than the Jutland Wastes with all the rocky terrain and slippery slopes and loose gravel and
Especially if you don't have any droids around, or you don't
right?
have your own vehicle,
Yeah,
which in his age is probably a good idea, but still, I mean,
I
the nearest help is deadly Tusken Raiders.
right, and they're just going to feast on your, help I can't get up carcass at
Yeah,
that
exactly.
point.
It's like I've fallen and I can't get up. They actually like brought him life alert that just rings over at the camp. Like, oh, he's down. Let's go, boys.
Like the dinner bell ringing.
That's right. Meat's back on the menu.
Wait, we don't have to eat each other tonight?
Yeah,
Okay.
all right. Looks like you're off the hook.
You get one more day, laddie.
That's right. Enjoy your last meal of Kenobi. Kenobi
Suddenly you went all Pirates of the Caribbean there for
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently, that's how Tusken Raiders sound. They're all, hey, what you doing near meat?
right, let's get out there and get
Yes, we'll
the
feast well tonight, matey.
booty.
Arr. Yarr.
Who's up for a little Jawa hunting
That's
tonight?
I'd make fashion myself a peg leg, but we live in a desert, so there's no trees, so no wood to make a peg leg out of.
We had to travel single file, show us to hide our peg legs.
That's right. Some of us have peg legs on the right, some on the left. So if we ride single file, you can't tell which side.
If we have an uneven number, just walk backwards. It'll make it right.
Backwards. Okay, this is certainly done. Talk about going a long way. We are now like crossing the Jutland Ways to get to our jokes. Then vaulting across a chasm to stand on a tiny little spit of Rocky Crag.
Because obviously he doesn't have like a Captain D's there on that little island.
Captain. Wow, the restaurant that time forgot. So we hope that you enjoyed this curious look at one of the ongoing themes. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing if Solo and Episode 8 provide us even further inconveniences.
Or in this case, episode 9.
Like, for example, speaking of Han Solo, if you're going to work on component parts of the Falcon,
Yeah.
don't put your toolbox on the other side of the room.
Right.
You knew you were going to need the hydro spanners. Don't leave them over.
Don't leave them by the chess table, because if your chess table breaks down, it could probably wait a few parsecs before it gets fixed.
That's right. So, yeah, maybe he was tinkering around over there and just realized, 90% of the time when you're messing around with this part of the Falcon, you need some hydro spanners.
Right.
No wonder Chewie was so bitchy about it. Like, you wanted the hydro spanners, you should have put them over there where you are. Hope they fall on you.
Speaking of Solo, I know we're trying to wrap this up, but we may not have a chance to talk about this on the live show, so I'm going to bring it up now.
All right.
Have you seen the image of the new Falcon? Of the Falcon from the Solo movie?
The new Falcon. No, I have not.
Okay, well, maybe we shouldn't talk about this at this point. Maybe we should save it. Go look at the design they have for the Falcon, because even though the movie Solo probably doesn't take place very much before A New Hope, the Falcon is not the Falcon from A New Hope.
Interesting.
Yeah,
So he's
and
going to have had to make a lot of special modifications.
well, okay, just to kind of run it down really quickly, the mandibles on the front are longer, and I think they house something in between, and it's white with blue pinstriping on it. It's not the same Falcon. It's the same Falcon, but yeah. I don't know if you're looking it up.
It's yeah, I got kind of curious. It's the same, only different,
Right.
as you would say, which is interesting
It leaked through the Lego
because
set, and then that other image of that they're showing. Okay, here's an image I think that they're.
but the thing about it is, isn't there a blue pinstripe Falcon or a in episode one or two or something like that?
I am not aware of that.
Yeah, if you look around at Easter eggs, the Millennium Falcon apparently appeared
I knew that, but
somewhere, but it actually, in fact, there was a Micro Machines or no, a Titanium series Falcon, I think, based on that, and it had some blue paint
okay.
job action going down.
Yeah. Well, you know the promotional image of Solo that they released where it's got Hans Gruber or whatever that guy's the actor's name is, and he's wearing like this almost like this it's hard to describe the jacket. It's almost like a burnt orange with like leather shoulders, and Chewie's behind him with like apparently Chewbacca's got like a double bandolier in this movie, and then you got Slick Calrissian over there next to him, and then the Game of Thrones girl behind him. The Falcon is flying across, and the mandibles in the front look very long. Yeah, so just do a little bit of research, and maybe we'll have to save this discussion for another time. But
Yeah, we'll
I don't know.
definitely talk about that on a future episode because we're going to be getting closer and closer to the release of Solo, and that's going to become very much a topic of conversation
Yeah.
moving forward. And so I think we'll go ahead and wrap things up a little bit here for you for the return of the recorded show of the Rancor Pit. And
It was originally called Revenge of the Recorded Show.
that's so true. Yeah,
But
we
George
found out
Lucas made us
that
change it.
yeah, there was going to be a apparently the Gorn Arena were doing Vengeance of the
Recorded show.
pre-recorded show, and so in a gentleman's agreement we changed the title, and then they wound up with going with the Wrath of the Recorded Show. So
Yeah, exactly.
also I If the solo image that you're talking about is the one I'm thinking of, where Lando's sporting a young Mr. Glass hairdo and all, has that been officially called official, or is that?
I don't I'm
There's a
hearing
lot of speculation I've seen that that was a
I'm
fake.
hearing like it's hard to say because there are some websites that are saying it definitely is leaked. Others are saying it's fan made. But then where people think it is official is because when the Lego sets leaked, it matched that Falcon exactly. But who's to say at this point? We don't normally speculate on the show, so we probably shouldn't start now.
Yeah, especially since we did a whole episode of the live show about all the dreadful speculation that surrounds. I'm very inclined because as I was looking around, I do had already encountered this image, and there's so much about it that renders it unprofessional from the standpoint of what a movie poster would look like or something like that, so.
Do you mind if I do just a very quick shout out since we're here at the end of
Certainly,
television?
absolutely.
Okay. Y'all may or may not have heard of this, but just to bring it to everyone's attention, if you're in the DFW area, please, as a Star Wars fan, you've got to go check out the Holocron Toy Store in Fort Worth, Texas.
I had a feeling that's where you were headed, because yes, indeed.
Now, you've had the pleasure at this recording, having spent a few days there. Unfortunately, with my busy schedule right now, I have not made the trek that way, but I am going to in the next day or two. But maybe you should speak a little bit to what you saw in the vastness that is the Holocron Toy Store.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, as we record this, we are literally we're recording this before the live show upon which the return is being announced. So it's kind of a weird chronology. But at this point, by the time this airs, Eddie will have visited the Holocron Toy Store. And we will both have visited it during their official grand opening. I had the good fortune to go and help out for a few days before they opened, and then go hang out for a lot longer than I intended at their soft opening the week before the grand opening. And I wound up hanging out there longer than I intended because I was having so much fun just hanging out and goofing off and just enjoying it. But this is a wonderful. What's so cool about the Holocron Toy Store is it is a massive space.
Yes, from what I can
And
tell from your video.
it's very spacious, very well laid out. So, a lot of places that have the kind of sheer volume of collectibles at their disposal that Holocron have. Are just it's all crammed together so much that you might miss some stuff, but it is incredibly spacious and it's all laid out almost like a museum that you can with an option to buy, as Catherine says, because you can go through section to section and see the evolution of the Star Wars, the modern Star Wars action figures, for example. They have whole sections for any given incarnation. The 30th anniversary collection, the 40th anniversary collection, all of these different incarnations, the individual movie incarnations. So as you walk through the store, the packaging changes and you see the, and so much of it for stuff that's 10, 15, 20 years old, or in some cases with the vintage stuff, much older, closer pushing 40. So much of the modern stuff looks like it did 10, 15 years ago, hanging on the shelves of a Toys R Us or a Walmart. I mean, this stuff is so clean and
So pristine. They have pristine merchandise then for being older figures.
and they've got a little bit of everything from mini busts and statues to action figures to housewares
Yeah, I
and
think I
goods and
caught a
stuff like
glimpse
that.
of a picture of housewares, which I thought that's a good addition to a store like that, because you would think it's toys and collectibles, and then you see a section of housewares, you're thinking that's smart thinking on their part, because they're hitting everything.
Yeah, just about. And then they also have, there's a wonderful section for the kids where they've got a lot of the stuff that was either marketed to kids, to the little kids, like the Galactic Heroes or the Forces of Destiny, as well as just stuff like, and the Hot Wheels, both the character cars and the ships, but also the kind of stuff that was, a lot of stuff that's in a lower price point. And a lot of times these collectible stores, there's like, anything from $25 up to several thousand. And there, you have people going in there and it's great for the adult collector, but there's nothing there that mom and dad can afford to buy for the kids.
Yeah, 'cause inevitably you're gonna have that kid saying, I want something, I want to, and they start crying because dad's got a whole stack of Black Series figures that the kid's never gonna touch, and the kid wants something, so it's nice that they have a little section where you can spend $2, $3, $5 and get the kid a little, batch of his own.
Exactly.
But I gotta say, when yeah, that's the Cole and I are so like so such good buddies. There's like no jealousy between us. But I've gotta say, in a very rare instance, I was jealous of Cole, and I'll say why. Because he got to hang out there with Rob and Nicole, and I'll tell you what, those two are some
They
awesome
really are.
people. So if for anything else, go into Holocron and talk to Rob and Nicole, because they are just awesome people, and I would love the chance to just spend the day in their store and just catch up with them and
Yeah,
talk with them
and
and
tell
hang
them the
out.
Rancor Pit sent you.
Yeah, they're gonna say, who?
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, we are actually working with Holocron Toys to have the monthly Rancor Picks.
What? Wait, whoa, what?
We
This sounds
talked about this a bit.
interesting, so maybe so. I don't know. My forgetfulness.
But no, I actually spoke to Rob about pitching the idea of Eddie and I would make a few selections from their inventory as the official Rancor pick. So every month these would be our recommended collectible that they have.
Oh, genius. No, I if you told me
And we
this, I was
call
gonna
them
miss
the
it.
Rancor pick.
Oh, that's genius. I love it.
So we're looking forward to working with
Because I thought
that.
you were saying pick PIC, and I thought we're gonna
Oh,
like take pictures of us like holding certain
no.
collectibles while wearing our gold bikinis or something like that. I didn't know where this
Yikes.
was going. I love that. Oh, I love that. I've always wanted to be like the person that gets to pick something.
Exactly. Like you used to go to Blockbuster and there'd be like the staff pick.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So we're very much looking for that, but I'm glad you brought up that because we will have talked about it on the live show if you didn't happen to see that. And so we're going to be doing a lot of stuff with Holocron whenever possible. Really excited. It's over in Fort Worth, Texas, on Vickery. And if you've, it's kind of neat to see something on that side of the Trinity too.
So there's this thing called Google, so you don't really need us, but if you need us for because you don't haven't heard of Google, 3613 West Vickery Boulevard, Fort Worth, Texas, 76107, and that's Vickery, V as in victory, Ickery. So there you go.
Yes, indeed. So we hope to see you out there or sometime when we're out there. If we missed you at the grand opening, I will be out there myself and ideally, Eddie can break away. We might even be able to record some Rancor bits, and
Oh, I hope so. Yeah.
we'll do some coverage naturally on the live show. And hopefully, one of these days, we can steal Rob or Nicole away from the store long enough to come be on the live show with us.
That would be awesome.
And we'll be back again in 2 weeks. In the interim, be sure and check out the Rancor Pit live over at DallasOnAir.com. from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. Central on the first and third Sundays of every month, preceded on the first Sunday by Figments with Eddie and Colleen Medina, the Cryptid Couple, and the third Sundays of every month, the hour before, with my new show, Isle of Toys, where I basically just cover different aspects of toys over all manner of genres, types, and themes, because the, like the title suggests, I love toys.
Awesome, awesome. And don't forget to check out our YouTube channel.
Yes, indeed.
You can get every single episode of the Rancor Pit live, except for the dreaded episode 36, or yeah, 36.
Yeah, I think 36 was the lost episode.
The lost episode that one day we promised to recreate in the form of action figures or Lego figures or something.
We'll kind of do it like they did with the audio from that old Doctor Who episode that got taped over.
Yeah. Right. There you go. I like that. But, yeah, you can catch all the live shows plus all of our Rancor bits, you know, anything that was filmed at one of our convention appearances or store appearances, that if you didn't get to make it out to the convention or store appearance, we try to video those and put those on the YouTube channel as well.
Absolutely, and we are already in talks with some folks for the Rancor Pit Summer Roadshow Tour 2018.
Yes.
We had such a blast in our first Summer Road Show that we are anxious to get back to that. But that will have summer still a ways away, but it's going to creep up on us before we know it. So
yeah.
We
may not be able to promise as many of stops. Then again, with all the people that got mad that we didn't include them on last year's tour, we may actually have more stops than this.
Yeah, that's so true, and we'll probably be a few places that may not be officially on the tour, but just to make room for everybody. But we are very much looking forward to that as well.
Yeah.
And we'll be back here in 2 weeks with more Simple Tricks and Nonsense, because the pre-recorded show is Striking Back.